Hi, this is The Gathering Church in Windsor, Ontario, and I'm Pastor Garth Leno. Welcome to our podcast. So many people live in fear every single day. Johanna lived in fear of the expectations of family and friends. Later on, she and her husband adopted two beautiful girls, but lived with the fear of being good parents and making it work. So many people live in fear every single day, but God has prescribed a remedy for fear. I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 41, if you would, please. Isaiah 41:10. Open your Bibles, your Bible app, to Isaiah. Isaiah is in the Old Testament, after Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, then Isaiah. If you get to Ezekiel or Jeremiah, you're too far, you need to back up, or scroll up or scroll down, whatever the case may be. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. But I could probably take you to another verse like Genesis 15:1. Which says, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I'm your shield. Your reward will be very great. I could take you to that verse, but I don't want to. Let's stick to Isaiah 41:10 this morning. But then there's Exodus 14:13. Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. There's so many verses about fear in the Bible. Yeah, great verse, but we want to get back to Isaiah 41. But what about Deuteronomy 31:6? Be strong and courageous. Fear not. But I really want to stick to Isaiah 41. However, you should see this one too, Joshua 8:1. The Lord said to Joshua, do not fear and do not be dismayed. And what about Psalm 118, verse 6? The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? You probably ought to underline that one in your Bible. Fantastic verse about fear. And the same is true all over the New Testament. There are all kinds of verses in the New Testament that exhort us, that urge us not to be afraid. One example is Mark 5:36, where Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not fear, only believe. So he's talking to guys who have not yet made the transition to faith. And he's saying, you don't have nothing to be afraid of. Just believe. But again, I'd like to stick to Isaiah 41:10 because it's really the very best verse on fear. And we're going to get there. Here it is. Isaiah 41:10. Let's read it out loud together, shall we? From the screens. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You see, God the Father actually commands us to fear not. It's a command. He commands us, be not dismayed. So, well, how am I supposed to do that? Well, whenever God commands us to do something, he always provides reasons for it, and he also provides strength to do it. The power comes from understanding, believing, and acting on the commands and the promises of God, as we'll see in just a moment. So there are reasons for no more fear. I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you by my righteous right hand. He gives us five good reasons why we do not have to be afraid. So let me restate the five pillars of fearlessness like this. God is with me. God is my God. God will strengthen me. God will help me. God will uphold me. That's powerful truth from the Word of God for every one of us today. Doesn't matter what you're facing. Doesn't matter what your trial. Doesn't matter what your diagnosis. This is the Word of God. And it's powerful in our ears this morning. So whenever God calls you to be free from fear, to not be afraid, like when you share your faith with a friend, that can be a scary thing. Or when you take a test at school and you haven't studied enough the night before. When you face an interview for a new job, and fear begins to rise up within you. When you take a stand at work for Christ, when you confront a brother or sister who's living in sin, when you leave a secure position for something that's not quite so secure, and you're afraid. When you take a risk, when you face that diagnosis, whenever you are fearful, and God calls you to be free from fear, to overcome this natural emotion, and it is a natural thing, and walk in the power of God, He does not leave the command just hanging in the air. God does not do that. He doesn't command us to do something and then say, okay, go. Go on. Get. Do it. That's not how the Father works. He puts pillars underneath. He provides strength to overcome. He props you up with the truth. And that God is with you, and you don't need to be afraid. And He is your God, and He will uphold you. Isaiah 41:10. So the key to overcoming fear is resting on the promises of God. Which doesn't sound very scientific at all for you scientists in our midst. It's a matter of faith. I am going to trust God with this. And if the key to fearlessness is believing in the promises of God, then understanding the nature and character of God, understanding the greatness and the glory of God who makes these promises, will actually intensify your faith in the promise itself and the God who gives it, you see. So perhaps, logically at least, we might say, well, in order to believe the promises of God, I need to know the God who makes the promises. Exactly. Which is a good segue into the next part of the message. Let's look at the glimpses of God's greatness that Isaiah gives us in Isaiah 41. Now, we just plucked Isaiah 41:10 right out of the chapter. But there are 9 verses of Scripture, of God's truth, before we ever get to verse 10. And the first glimpse is that God is the judge of all the earth. He says in verse 1, "Listen to me in silence, O coastlands. Let the peoples renew their strength. Let them approach. Let them speak. Let us together draw near for judgment." So here is a picture of God calling all of the people in the land to gird up their strength and come before Him for judgment. The God of Isaiah 41:10 is the judge of all the earth. He calls the nations to give an account of their lives and their minds and their religions and their thoughts. And I don't need to remind you that Jesus said that every one of us will give an account one day. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account. Let's not forget that He is the judge of all the earth. Glimpse number 2. God is the ruler of rulers. In verses 2 and 3, Isaiah asks, "Who stirred up one from the east whom victory meets at every step? He gives up nations before him so that he tramples kings underfoot. He makes them like dust with his sword, like driven stubble with his bow." So here's a picture of God rousing a king and leading him in conquest and delivering up nations before him. So the King of Kings gives this earthly king the ability to do what he does. He's the King of Kings. He's the ruler of rulers. So the God of Isaiah 41:10, this God of promise who calls us not to fear, is also the ruler of the rulers of history. He controls the affairs of men and of nations and kings for His purpose and His glory. So when that God says to this puny little human being, "Don't be afraid," it's worth listening to, don't you think? On that basis of who God is, just these couple glimpses that we have of God as the judge and the ruler of rulers and all of history and all of the future yet to come. Maybe, just maybe, this same God, this Jesus, is big enough to handle my fear. Whatever I'm afraid of, He can handle it. He can deal with it. Do you think He is? I think so. Glimpse number three, God is the uncreated first. Verse 4, who has performed and done this, calling the generations from the beginning? Who's done it? I, the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am He. So here's a picture of God not only judging the nations and ruling the rulers, but calling the nations of the earth into being, calling forth the generations from the beginning. I love the way the Bible starts, don't you? In the beginning, God. I mean, He is the ultimate reality and the shaper of all other realities. He is the uncreated first. He is number one. He is the God of all gods. There is none like Him. And glimpse number four, God is also the God who chose His own people. In verses 6 and 7, Isaiah shows us the desperate attempts of the nations to persuade themselves that their handmade gods are good enough, that they don't need God. They can choose for themselves who is going to be their God. Have you ever heard of anything so silly? But in verse 6, Isaiah 41, 6, everyone helps his neighbor and says to his brother, be strong. So what's behind this? They're trying to encourage each other. They're trying to inspire each other to be strong in the face of difficulties and be strong in life. And just they pumping each other up, you know, be strong. You got what it takes. You can do it, buddy. Come on, I'm for you. They've got absolutely no basis for saying be strong. It's just their own human intuition and, you know, whatever we can stir up within us. And we'll go to chapters and buy the latest self-help book and maybe that will help us. You know, get better, be stronger, be bigger, be strong. No, it doesn't work. Verse 7, the idol makers who smooth out the metal and try to fortify the idols with nails, well, they're encouraging others, each other, saying, it's good, it's all good. Look, we got this little idol here. That's good. We got this little golden cap over here. That's good. We got this RRSP growing with interest in the bank. It's good. We got, you know, my NFL team is on the top this year. It's good. We just keep encouraging each other, saying it's good. We got it covered. We got this figured out. Life is happening. It's all good. Here's a picture of the unrepentant nations desperately trying to convince themselves that their handmade gods are big enough and strong enough. Do we have any handmade gods in our culture today? Huh? Do we have any manufactured gods in our culture today? Oh, man. Let's not go down that road. We'll be here till 5 o'clock. Over against this desperation of self-reliance and idolatry, God says to His people, verses 8 and 9, this is what He says to all of that, but you, Israel, My servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend. You, whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. And this, my friends, is the gospel in the Old Testament. That's what this is. This is good news. And this is not God expecting us to choose our gods. This is God choosing His people. So you don't need to, I mean, you can manufacture gods and use soldering guns and sheet metal all you want. The Bible doesn't support the idea of man choosing their gods, but it says an awful lot about God choosing His people. God chooses us by sovereign grace, just like He chose Jacob. God calls us friends. He rescues us from the ends of the earth. He calls us out of darkness and says, you are my servant. I have chosen you. This is what God has done for us in Christ. Isaiah 41, 8, 9 is the gospel of the Old Testament. When you go immediately to the New Testament, Ephesians 1, verse 4, it says that God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. This is the gospel. This is another example of God choosing His own people. He chose us before the foundation of the world. He called us out of darkness and death. He offered us the gifts of repentance and faith. He saved us by His grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And then He equips His people to live out their lives in abundance by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen and hallelujah. Praise God for that. So what do we have to be afraid of? In light of all that, these four glimpses of God just give us such an amazing picture. In the first nine verses of Isaiah 41, these glimpses intensify and reinforce the five pillars of fearlessness given to us in verse 10. And we go to verse 10. I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. Therefore, God says, do not be afraid. Whatever it is you're facing, you don't have to be afraid. And let's remember also that Jesus Christ is the only foundation for fearlessness. I mean, these pillars of truth from Isaiah 41:10, I've purposely called them pillars. Anybody who's been involved in construction at all knows that pillars need a foundation. Jesus Christ is the only foundation, ultimately, for fearlessness in our lives. Jesus Christ Himself has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That foundation is permanent, my friends. So I call upon you this morning as my brothers and sisters in Christ, my family. Stop defining yourself by your past. And stop limiting your future in terms of your past and start defining it in terms of who God is. My future rests on God, not on my abilities, not on my degrees, not on my family pedigree. It depends on God. Amen? And so does yours. So I call upon you today to recognize that Jesus is greater than your personality. Some people think they can get through life on their gregarious personality. Jesus is greater than your personality. He's greater than your hesitations. He's greater than your limitations. He's greater than your family of origin. Well, I am what I am because my parents were fill in the blank. That's a load of whatever it's a load of. Jesus is greater than that. He's greater than your family of origin. He's greater than your brokenness, and He will never, ever, ever leave you. Praise God. So every time you feel your feet slipping, and they will, even though you believe that, Isaiah 41:10, yes, Lord, your feet will slip. Maybe tomorrow, maybe later today, your feet will start to slip. Every time you start to feel weak, and you will, every time you're tempted with fear, run to Jesus. Run to Jesus as quick as you can. Run to Jesus because He will never leave you or forsake you. He's waiting for you. He will not leave you behind ever. God calls us to joyful fearlessness. The crucial factor in our fearless living is not family or career or education or salary. It's Jesus. Do you believe that? Jesus. Jesus Himself said in John 14:1, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in Me. See, that's the key. That's a key to fearlessness. It will come up. The temptation to fear will come up again and again and again and again. Say, get behind me, Satan. I put my trust and confidence in God. You face surgery, trust in the Lord. You have a court date looming, trust in God. You can't get pregnant, trust in God. You're about to get fired, trust in God. Your marriage is challenging, trust in God. He will uphold you with His righteous right hand. Before we close in prayer this morning, let me encourage you all to just stay with us right till the very end of the service if you can. I've got another important announcement I need to make. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, it really is stunning and encouraging to realize that the most often repeated command in all of Scripture, do not be afraid. Some have said it occurs 365 times in the Bible, once for every day of the year. Lord, because you are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, we don't have to be afraid of anything in our lives between the first day and our last day. You are God, and we just trust you. We have to trust you. We don't have to be afraid of world powers and terror. We don't have to be afraid of failure and its consequences. We don't have to be afraid of being enough or having enough. We don't have to be afraid of getting older or being forgotten. You will never leave us or forsake us. You are the foundation upon which all fearlessness that we could ever experience is based and built. Jesus is enough, and we thank you, Lord. You are all we need. And we pray these things in faith this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.